My dad was a policeman, and one of his favorite sayings, and it wasn't original to him, I'm sure you've heard this before, and usually within the context of the nightly news, invariably, he would say, "Nothing good ever happens at 2 o'clock in the morning. You could change it to midnight or whatever, you know. There's variations on the saying." But with the possible exception of a baby being born, that's pretty true, right? Almost nothing good happens in the middle of the night. Right? Think back to your own experience, right? If the phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's rarely good news, right? And on the other side of the coin, it seems like bad things don't happen quite as often in the daytime. When's the last time you heard of a riot or a drive-by shooting or a drug deal gone bad at 6:30 in the morning, right? Doesn't happen usually very often. There's just something about dark that brings out the dark of human nature, right? Seems like it's almost common sense to say that, it seems, right? People do bad things when it's dark, and they tend not to do them when it's light. There's almost something, you know, and there's some of the great psychologists of the 20th century, you know, thought about things like that. Are there these kind of archetypal symbols, if you will, that have meaning that actually do shape life? And this seems to be one of those, right? Good things happen in the light, bad things happen in the dark. This seems to be what St. Paul is, and St. Paul is using this image today, right? He's using this kind of like tension between light and dark to talk about faith, really, and faithfulness. "For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." Again, he doesn't say like a thief in the daytime, because thieves don't come in the daytime. They break into your house at night. Light and darkness as powerful symbols. I think it's an important thing for us to reflect upon. And we could do it, actually, and it's very helpful, from the book of Genesis, the very beginning. In fact, in the beginning, right? What does it say? Before God created anything, there was this abyss. There was this chaos. And what does it also say about that abyss, that chaos? It was dark. And what does God say? What's the first creation? What's the first thing created? On the first day, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, the interesting thing with that is, right? So there's light. But God doesn't create the sun and the stars and the moon until like the fifth day of creation. So what was providing the light before then? God. God as light. Right? The Word as light. We use that imagery all the time, right? It's a very powerful symbol that we use even in the liturgy. Right? Where does the Easter Vigil, well, unfortunately, this gets abused terribly, right? But where does the Easter Vigil is supposed to begin? In darkness, right? In darkness. And what's the first thing that happens in the Easter Vigil? The Easter fire, the light. Into the darkness comes light, and kind of a wild light, but then put onto a candle, and then everybody's got a candle, and everybody's got the light, right? The light is shared. If you keep sharing that light, that one little fire could illuminate the whole world if we all could get close enough to one another to give our light to the next person's candle. Powerful images, right? Light and darkness. Before there was light, sun, stars, moon, there was light. The light of faith. The great church fathers reflected upon this and used this as a powerful understanding of that with the fall. So there's two kinds of light. Let's just go back a little bit. So there's two kinds of light. There's the stars and the sun and the moon, right? And then there's the light that God created. It's just pure light, right? With the fall, we don't see it anymore. Our ability to see God's light was dimmed. Right? And therefore, when Jesus comes into the world, brings the light back. Right? That's why we celebrate Christmas in the ancient world was the day of the winter solstice. From that day onward, the days get longer, the light gets brighter. Light. As a symbol of God's presence. Right? As a symbol of faith. And we use that all the time, right? Right? In Christianity, we talk about illumination. You know, I've been illuminated, you know, by God, by faith. Right? When little babies get baptized, when adults get baptized, we give them a candle. Receive the light of faith. Right? Powerful symbol of God's presence. But the reality is we often live in the darkness, right? We often live in the darkness. We have dark moments, and I don't mean that in a negative, like, oh, I've sinned sense, but we often live in it in the darkness of the world, right? Because of the effects of sin, right? We know suffering, we know distress, we know separation, division in relationships within families. We know all kinds of darkness in our world. And that can lead us to despair. Right? Again, back to that powerful symbol, right? Little children, sometimes adults, are afraid of the dark. Right? Have you ever been to like one of these like tours of a mine or tours of a underground caverns? Invariably, they turn the lights out, right? And it is dark. It is very disconcerting. It can almost make you dizzy because there's no point of reference anymore. Right? The power of darkness. Right? But we have been given the light. And even in the darkness, there is light. But we have a hard time seeing it. That light that was created by God, that expression of God, that presence of God created on the first day of creation is with us. But because of our limitations, because of our sinfulness, because of our lack of faithfulness at times, we don't always see it. But even in the darkest moments, there is light. The light of faith that we can latch on to. Right? We are not of the night or the darkness. For all of you are children of the light, children of the day. Even in the darkest moments, there is light. The light of God's presence. In the monastic tradition, you know, actually in religious life in general, right, there's something called the Liturgy of the Hours. It's basically praying psalms at different points of the day. And there still is in the monastic tradition, a night office, right? Prayers that were meant to be said in the middle of the night, in the dark. Now, we friars still say those same psalms, but we do it at the very difficult hour of 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Everybody's awake by then, so that works. But in the monastic tradition, it's a night office. Right? What a powerful image that is, right? Even in the middle of the night, there are people praying. Even in the middle of the night, there is light. And the same for us. Even in the darkest night that we find ourselves in, there is light, right? And therefore, when the Lord comes, the Lord will never come like a thief in the night for us, because we're always aware of God's presence, hopefully. We have faith in God's presence. We have hope in God's presence. And hopefully that illumination incites our charity. In the darkness, there is always light. We pray to the Lord for the grace to be able to see it.